pray, I ask God to bless his word. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the grace and mercy that your spirit offers. Forgive us for not taking more advantage of it, God. Your word says how terrible it is to count the sacrifice of God as nothing. God, what shall we do if we neglect so great a salvation? May today's word wake us up. May today's word put us on a good path. May today's word, we see ourselves as we are really seen. No more games. No more make-believe pictures of ourselves. Please, Holy Spirit, show up today and do this work. In Christ's name, amen. The amazing commentator, pastor for many years, named Warren Wiersbe, a man who's wrote over 100 books, and I recommend all of them highly. The man is an amazing writer and an amazing servant of God. I think he went home to be with the Lord just a few months ago, as a matter of fact. I could be wrong about that. Something in my head tells me that he did. He said in one of his books, I think it was called True Worship, it said, the Lord spoke in parables. He told these stories. And a parable is a picture that becomes a mirror that becomes a window. First, it's a picture. You're listening to this parable and you're hearing this story. And before you know it, you see yourself in the story. But just like the Lord, it then becomes a window, an opportunity to get out or to get in. I'm going to tell you my own parable today. Based upon today's scripture that we're studying, a man had three sons. This is not a biblical parable. I didn't find it in the scriptures. But studying this section of scripture over and over again, the best way to be able to apply it, because it's really hard to apply today's full message, that what the apostle was writing, because we don't have Judaizers in our day and age. Nobody's creeping in and saying, hey, you got to be circumcised, you got to be this. But we do have some things we can apply. A man had three sons. One of his sons decided to work the family business with him. He called his father, sir. Sometimes he even called him Lord. He was happy to take the lowest seat in the house. He was blessed that his hardworking father was there every day for him. And this son, in turn, was blessed. He had everything his father had. As a matter of fact, he had everything his brothers had, and he was happy about it. He raised his family nearby, and his children called his grandma and grandpa blessed every day. This first son treated himself as a servant, and he was rewarded because of it. But a man had a second son, and this second son didn't want nothing to do with the family business. As a matter of fact, he was completely disinterested in it. He was not interested at all. Matter of fact, he moved away and asked his daddy to pay for it, too. Sounds a little bit like the story of the prodigal, but it's not completely. And this young man eventually found himself a woman, made himself a life, and he did okay for himself. But he had nothing to do with the family business. As a matter of fact, this young man lived in another state completely. He talked to his mom and dad on the phone. They did a lot of iPhone talking when it came to the grandchildren. Oh, hi, say hi to grandma. Hi, how are you? Did you get that? We Amazoned you some stuff. Oh, thank you. But he wasn't into the family business. He actually didn't want nothing to do with it. He was sick of it. He was tired of hearing about it. Jesus this and Jesus that and blah, 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 blah. But he was a good guy. Only problem was, he was going to hell. But I said a man had three sons. Now, for you ladies, could easily be talking about daughters. I'm just using the son because I don't want to be saying son or daughter, daughter or son. Well, why didn't you use daughters? I don't know. Leave me alone. Because I'm not PC. And this third son, he was an interesting character. He liked the family business, just didn't like his daddy that much. He didn't mind working the family business, but he certainly wasn't about to go all the way. Yeah, that whole sir and lord stuff, that wasn't for him. Matter of fact, sometimes he worked the family business, sometimes he didn't. He had bigger fish to fry. While he was in the house, he was kind and respectful. But he wasn't about kissing nobody's butt. And he shared the rewards of the family business, but he didn't experience the fullness. You know what happened to the third son? He was in the family, but he was miserable. Like the first son was in the family, and he was thrilled about it. And he didn't judge his old man for being a tightwad or a hard butt. No, he didn't. He just was happy to be around his mom and dad. And that second son, he was happy. You know why? Because he was stupid. He didn't know what he was missing. He was just dumb. But that third son was in the family. He was, let me spiritualize it a little bit. He was going to heaven, but he weren't enjoying the ride at all. Third son's the saddest one of them all. He didn't respect the process. Didn't understand why. Sorry to start off on such a sad note, but it's important. And now I'm going to jam this scripture verse into that story, and I'm going to let your mind connect the dots on who not only am I speaking of, but more important, who are you? Who are you in there? Right now, even some of you guys are, well, I'm not the first son. I'm not the second son. Certainly not the second son. That guy's going to hell. I'm going to heaven. For goodness sakes, I'm in church, aren't I? Yes, because everybody in church goes to heaven. The Apostle Paul, writing to those that are confused, because some people have crept in, as you know, he writes to this church, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he's a debtor to keep the whole law." Please, before we read number 4, we've been talking about this for the last few weeks. If you've been here, these Judaizers crept in the church and they said you have to add stuff to stuff. Let me explain how we can apply this as a practical measure. Here's the thing. What I love about Aaron's story about Samantha. I have no fear of what you may become if I give you a Bible. Zero. You know what's going to happen if I give you a Bible and you start reading that Bible? You'll become as I am, free. Oh, you might have to connect some dots. Well, I read this. Well, read the whole counsel. I know what you'll become if you read the Bible. You'll become a Christian, born again, on fire, like Samantha. You mean you didn't give her a pamphlet? You didn't give her a chick track on what to do and how to do it? You mean God did it? But if you want to become a Jehovah's Witness, oh, you got to read the Watchtower. If you want to become a Mormon, you got to read their writings. Joseph Smith has a lot to say about what you should do. As a matter of fact, if you want to learn about the planet Zoloft, you best to read the Mormon verses. Ryan, I don't like it when I come here and you make fun of other faiths, other religions. I'm not. I'm telling you flat out, if you want to be a Jehovah's Witness, be the best Jehovah's Witness in the world. You want to be a Mormon? Seek God. I truly believe, unlike some, and you might misunderstand this, and I'm sorry if you do, I believe that whether you're Muslim, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, Baha'i, whatever it is, if you are truly seeking God, God himself will lead you to his son. For the Bible says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you are truly seeking God, he will lead you to his son, Jesus Christ. For I know many in many religions who were doing this thing just because it was their culture. That's just what we do. We're Hispanic. That's just what we do. We're Italian, or fill in the blank. This is what we do in the Mormon thing. You know, we wear a white shirt, we knock on doors, we have a nameplate. This is what we do. Where'd you learn that? Because I don't see that nowhere in the Bible. And here, the Apostle Paul, talking to this church, he said to them, listen to me. What I am telling you comes from God. If you go back to your old religion, it will profit you nothing. You will, what's called, forsake the cross. He's telling them, well, now what had happened is these Judaizers came in and said, hey, listen, in order to be a Christian, you first got to be circumcised. And Paul was not saying that circumcision's bad. I know it's a common practice today for health reasons and all of that stuff. Almost all of parents now circumcise their children. He says, but listen, if you think it'll benefit you in any way, shape, or form for Christ, it will not. Continuing, again, application will become a little clearer now. Verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You are saved by the belief that Jesus Christ died for your sins and God raised him from the dead. Nothing else. Zero. God chose you to believe. Ryan, you got to explain this. I'm having trouble because I'm trying to put that story of the three sons in perspective here. I don't get it. So what if I believe, just don't believe like you? Well, then maybe you're the third son. Maybe you're the son who doesn't realize that in order to be truly blessed, you must be truly stupid. Whoa, what does that mean? Listen, there's a fantastic, there's about a 7-minute video on YouTube by Jordan Peterson. I sent it to Austin yesterday. It's called Doing Anything is Worth Doing It Wrong First. Have you guys seen that one? Isn't that a wonderful thing? He says in this thing, and it's so much like, he applies it to so many Bible verses. He says, you understand, if you have an idea and you think it's a stupid idea, 99.99% of the time, it is a stupid idea. What good is an idea if most of them aren't stupid? And in order to be smart, you first reckon that everything else is stupid that you've done. In order to achieve greater, you must first believe you're lesser. It's an amazing talk he does. If you all text me later, I'll send it to you if you want to see it. I sent you yesterday, Marty. Did you watch it? Did you think the same thing? It was so good. Because it was just, you know, that third son, he's just so filled with animosity toward his own man. I was that third son. I believed in God, but Man, if God needed me to worship him, I have to I have to be afraid of God. I'm not afraid of nothing. I'm not afraid of no man. I own those streets out there, Jack. I ain't afraid of nothing. Well, don't you believe in God? I believe in God. I do. I do believe in God. Surrender to the Father. He'll show you the Son. Yeah, I ain't about all that surrender. That's the third son. You know that third son, man, he might make it to heaven, but he's going to be miserable on the way. That poor slob doesn't realize, this poor fool didn't realize it was my weakness. I'm sorry. It was my weakness that made Christ's strength perfect, not my strength. The weaker I became, the stronger Christ became, the stronger I became, the more useful I became to God, the more filled my life was. Man, I wish I was the first son. I would have saved myself a whole lot of problems. Verse 7, he says to them, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump." Listen, they knock on your door. "Good morning, we're from the Watchtower Society." "Oh, really?" Now, if you're new in the Lord, you say, "Are you a Christian?" They say, "We're Christians, but we're a little different." Now, if you take a plane from California to Hawaii, and you're off 1 degree, you get on the plane and the pilot comes on and goes, "Good morning, guys. Our flight today will be 6 hours and 45 minutes. We'll be flying at an altitude of so-and-so, so-and-so. We'll be flying at an airspeed of 550 miles per hour. Slight problem today, ladies and gentlemen. Our instrumentation is off, but I think I can get there. I've made this trip a dozen times. It's okay." "Ladies and gentlemen, we're off 1 degree, but we should be fine in 6 hours.
Now, if you're off 1 degree going from California to Hawaii, you will miss Hawaii by 385 miles. You see, because the Lord Jesus said it, a little leaven leavens the whole batch. You can't be off by nothing, y'all. Nothing. And here, the Apostle Paul said, "Listen, I don't know who told you this." I talked to a buddy of mine just the other day. Oh, yeah, his brother-in-law started a church. This guy was great, man. He was a chiropractor. All the people from the church went to him. Great guy, man. Nice family. Kind of weird thinking. But he figured out a few things. You have to keep this dietary law. You have to keep that dietary law. Some of y'all know who I'm talking about. Very nice people. But he believes you have to keep some of the law. And I don't know if he just didn't read the book of Galatians, skipped over the 4th and 5th chapter. I don't know. But I hope he don't turn out to be that second son. Because right now, I'm believing in my heart he's that third son. You cannot find yourself happy if you believe in God, but you're doing your own thing. It's miserable. It's like, to me, I always laugh a little bit, in jealousy, of course, when I see somebody with a Lamborghini or a Ferrari driving down the street. It's like, man, how you get a car with 12 cylinders that can go 70 miles an hour in second gear, and you got to drive on these roads with a red light? Man, what a miserable. "Man, I'll beat you to that red light." "Yeah, you will. And it'll cost me a whole lot less to get there." "And I, brethren," verse 11, "if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off." Please, give me your attention. Let me explain to you
verse 11 and 12. It's interesting. Apparently, they went in and said, hey, listen, this is the same thing Paul preaches. Paul's baptized. Obviously, he preaches the same thing. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, I don't preach circumcision. If I preach circumcision, then why are they still on my case? I'll tell you why, because I don't preach circumcision. And now, listen, you got to understand the time of the day it is, and I'll explain to you. He gets a little testy. He gets a little PO'd, I might even say. You know what I wish? I wish they'd cut themselves off. Let me explain to you exactly what he's saying there in the original language. Let them cut off their own. Now, what they understood about that in the time of the day was there was a temple in that area, and the temple was a prostitute temple. I forget the name of it. The name escapes me, but it doesn't matter. And the priests of that temple, in order to serve as a priest in this temple of prostitutes, you'd have to what's called geld yourself or, what's the word? Castrate, thank you. You'd have to castrate yourself. So to them, they understood exactly what somebody said. You know what I wish they would do? I wish they'd go work in that temple and cut themselves off. Take it easy, Paul. You're going to get me in trouble. If my wife was here, let me tell you, she'd be sitting in that chair right over there next to Chase, and she'd be going like this. You off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Before I read the end of verse 13, let me explain to you what he goes through now. He goes now aiming directly past the second and first son to the third son's heart. And if you've never dealt with what's called hyper-Calvinism, I warn you now, the longer you're in the church, the more you fellowship, you will meet some people who tell you, are you a tulip person? Tulip? Yeah, you know, Calvinism. Calvinism? You know, total depravity, unlimited, you know the whole. Now, some of you guys are here now and you don't know what I'm talking about. Good. I was going to go through all the letters and, you know, why would I do that? Why would I even poison your brain? But what you will find is there is people in movements in the body of Christ, large movements, respected churches, preachers who you would not expect because they can't come up with this. They have to what's called, what one of my favorite old preachers, James MacDonald, before the old James MacDonald, he used to say, if you got to build a scaffold on it, it ain't worth it. He said he believed in some of the points of Calvinism, but not all of them, because he couldn't build a scaffold. You couldn't come up with Calvin's ideas by just reading the Bible. Somebody had to tell you about them. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. I don't know where you got this from. Now, what Calvinism did is it morphed into hyper-Calvinism. Now, the Calvinist's favorite preacher was none other than D.L. Moody. A man who had said, and I've used this line a million times in this church, the only thing that guy ever did with his life is depopulate hell by 3 million souls. He says, and again, this is the Calvinist's favorite preacher, he would often pray, God, save the elect and elect some more. That's the Calvinism I would like to adhere to. But then it morphed into hyper-Calvinism, which meant that, and now here's where I'm going to teach you a little bit about this thing, there was something called predestination, that nobody really had a choice whether they're going to heaven or not. God chose from the beginning, because if God knew the end from the beginning, and some people are born, and when they die, they go to hell, then obviously they had no choice in the matter, and they used Judas as an example. And I would say when I discussed this with Cal, I said, yeah, but don't you understand? You just put God in your human box. Just because God knows the end from the beginning doesn't mean you don't have a full choice in the matter. And they'd say, do some people go to hell? And I'd say, well, of course. Did God know that from the beginning? And I'd say, yes. He goes, then they don't have a choice. I go, no, I'm sorry. your human logic is missing. And these hyper-Calvinists believed, and now why am I telling you about hyper-Calvinism right now? They believed, a lot of them, that they can do anything they wanted because they were on the list. So here, the Apostle Paul, 2,000 years in advance, dealing with hyper-Calvinism, says, do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, for through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you are consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, here's what he's saying, and I don't know if you can understand this, all of you all, but here's what it says here. And here's the thing. The Bible very clearly says that the spiritually discerned, I talk spiritual things, don't know what you're talking about, makes no sense to me, have no idea. If you've had a conversation with a non-believer and you try to explain to them things of God, they're like, ark, lots of animals, people lived 500, 700 years, right? Dude, wasting your breath. They're spiritually discerned. They have zero faith, nothing. Now, it's very interesting. Joe Rogan has the world's largest podcast, and he is an avowed atheist. But I heard him yesterday in one of his discussions with Jordan Peterson talk about during his stand-up, he believes that he becomes possessed by a demon to do certain things that he does. Now, Joe Rogan doesn't believe in God, but he believes in the devil. For him, second son. And all that are like him. It's amazing how many second sons there are. You know what? They believe in every voodoo nonsense, but not God. They believe in this guy does sleep deprivation. He does sensory deprivation. He drinks, he smokes. He does all this stuff just so he can put his senses out there into the world, but doesn't believe in God. Second son. He's a second son. He says here, oh, for you third sons, going back to the spiritual discernment thing, listen, if you are truly saved and the Spirit of God has entered you, has come upon you, you don't need the law. I don't need to tell you. If you're driving down the road, let's put this to a fleshly thing. You're driving down the road and the light is green, but there's an old lady pushing a cart in the middle. What are you going to do? Why would you stop if the light's green? That's her friggin' problem. Or is it? Or are you filled with love? Would you get out? Stop, man. Make sure she's okay. Hey, come on. Are you kidding me? Guys, slow down. That's the difference. That's the difference. Some people, hey, listen, I'm saved. Once saved, always saved. That's what I believe. Once saved, always saved. Tulip, man. I know I'm on the list. Hey, you know, for somebody that's 15 years old in the Lord, you're certainly doing a lot of drinking, man. You're coming smelling in like a brewery, bro. Are you okay, man? Is everything all right in your life? Don't judge me. Once saved, always saved. Yeah, I'm with you, bro. And if you're struggling, I'm here to help. But, you know, Paul did write that you don't use your liberty as an opportunity to entertain your flesh. Because at some point in time, you're going to really deny your own salvation, you know. It's really hard to maintain any kind of strong faith. You know, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know that stuff? Once saved, always saved, okay? You know, we're going out to the beach. We're going to do some worship. We're going to share the love of Christ with people. You're interested? Oh, no. We don't worship on Sundays. We worship on Saturdays. I'll be in church. And what about those who worship on Sunday? You guys are going to hell. We're the only church. Got it. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you don't. When you are filled with the Spirit, you don't care about the law. And when you are filled with the Spirit and you're not under the constraints of the law, watch this. Now, the top end of this, the upper echelon of this, is to be led by the Spirit. You know, it's the funniest thing. I was in Home Depot the other day, and I don't know what was going on in Home Depot, but the Lord would just not leave me alone. Pray for that person. Before I left Home Depot, I prayed for like five people. Like, Lord, I just want to get some fertilizer for my garden, please. Yeah, but that girl that's working there, she needs a little prayer. Hey, Linda, how you doing? Hi, Ryan, what's going on? Life is so hard right now. I'm like, yeah, I knew it. My garden's dying and you're having a tough life. Come here, Linda, let me pray for you. And before I left that place, I walk out and I'm like, I'm not going back to Home Depot. God bothers me every time I'm in there. You see, the law, it won't lead you to do things like that. But the Spirit will. And some of them don't make any sense. The lighting's over there, but for some reason, I feel, I'll use the F word, that God wants me to walk this way first. And now some of you guys are like, that's just weird. Don't be a weirdo, Ryan. I know it sounds weird. And to some of you, it's even weirder than weird. But sometimes he does crazy stuff like that in my life. And because I'm spiritual and I do not follow the law, but the law of love and liberty, I'm open to be used by God. And if I walk the wrong way in Home Depot and I didn't get to pray for no one, I'm cool with that. It don't matter that my wife is texting me, where are you? Come home. Where are you? Come home. I'm praying for people at Home Depot. Well, come home and pray for me. Okay. And I mean no disrespect to my wife. Verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the law of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. We read that. Verse 19, now, the works of the flesh are evident. And now what he's giving is a list of things that we can know, not only of ourselves, but others. This person is the second son or the third son. Second son or the third son does these things. And now, real quick, the first son does them too. But here's the difference between the first son and the second and third son. The first son does them, and God goes, hey, don't do that. The other day, I confessed it. It happened about 2 weeks ago, and I held it in my heart for a while, but I was confessing to Cole and I forget who else, but Ryan B. I was driving on the way to the gym, and I was in the third lane coming up to Dixie and 10th, and this guy was coming up and back of me, and I put my blinker on, and he wouldn't let me over, so I did what I do when I drive a big truck, and I just cut him off. Like, you know what? I put my blinker on. You didn't move out of the way. That's on you, pal. What was I supposed to do? Make a right turn? That's not where I wanted to go. I wanted to go straight. If I made a right turn, I'd have to make a U-turn and go up there. And that would have probably taken 8 seconds. And that's not going to happen. So when I did and I started to move over, he stepped on his gas because he's not going to let me in. And I cut him off anyway. And he stopped short. And he's all that stuff there. So I get out of the way. I let him pull up and I go, dude, it's a red light. Where are you going? Yeah, well, F you. You did it. You think just because you did it. And I'm like, oh, a tough guy. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. And he's like, yeah, well, you have a good Christmas. You too, pal. And as soon as I pulled away, the Lord was like, great job, buddy. Terrific. I'm sure when he shows up to church, gonna be thrilled. And I'm using this as an extreme, but it doesn't have to be that extreme. Sometimes I just, God said walk around to the lighting aisle before you get to the lumber aisle, and I get that same, like, Lord, I'm under this constant conflict. Which way do I go, God? Which way do I go? And when you're
filled with the Spirit, sometimes, you know the old saying, it just be like that. And when you do these things, this list of things out here that are evident in the flesh, man, this weird thing. So I got saved in 1993, the beginning of 1994. And the craziest thing happened. I woke up the next day, and I got to work, and I cussed out one of my guys. Ew, nah, nah, nah. And I walked away, and I was like, oh, don't be mad at me. Sorry about that, God. I didn't, what is this? I called him, what's going on here? And my buddy said, it's conviction, Ryan. What is conviction? I don't like this one bit. He goes, Ryan, you can't be the same person you were. When you accept Christ as your Savior, even if you change your mind, God doesn't. Nothing is going to feel the same anymore, dude. I shouldn't have done this. Too late now, pal. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. So here's Paul's list. And please know it's a partial list because at the end of it he says, and the like. But this is a very partial list. The works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Now that word sorcery is very important to understand. It's in the Greek, it's the word pharmakeia, where we get our word for pharmacy. That's because witchcraft or sorcery, these things often invoke potions and mixtures, which were basically drugs that put people into a different plane of consciousness or realm of spiritualness. It's basically drug use. Sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Now, heresies is very interesting because if you don't know, heresies are false teachings in the church. Now, why would heresies be a work of the flesh? And then when you think about it, it's simple because the most people that are bringing heresies into the church, all they're doing is for attention. Oh, I believe something different. Christ really wasn't in the grave. Somebody told me one time, did Christ die and then 3 days later rose, or was it actually 2 days? I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, it says it was a Friday, but he rose on Sunday. Now, if it was late Friday and he rose, and I'm like, what are you doing? He just wants to come up with, why doesn't, remember Ken Ingles? Ken Ingles used to always say to me, use his graces, why doesn't anybody just believe? Why does everybody got to come up with their thing? Why can't you just be the first son? Why can't you just say, Lord, I love you, and whatever you say goes. And if you want me to be a sweeper, a street servant, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than a king in any other kingdom anywhere else. That's what David wrote. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that word for practice is an interesting word. It doesn't mean do them. It actually means make them a part of your life. And here's why that's important. When I first got saved, guys, I was what they call the proverbial brand plucked from the fire. Imagine you have a barbecue, and those coals are nice and fire. God took my coal, and he put it over here with the Christians. And here I was, just a fire brand. That's it. I still was cheating and lying and deceiving and hurting. And I did all these things in the church for the first year of my salvation. And one by one, God just was cleaning them up. Let me give me that, take that. But it didn't mean I wasn't going to heaven. It meant I was on my way someplace else. Now, some of y'all got saved, and you did these things, and you feel bad when you do them, but you keep doing them. I remember the first time I cheated after I got saved. And I was like, that was not fun. That was stupid. That stinks. And I called my buddy out. I was like, what did you invite me into here? And I used to be such a fun guy. Yeah, well, how much fun were you really having, Ryan? If it was so much fun, then why did you accept Christ as your Savior? He like got in my face about it. If life was so good, second son, then why did you come to the Lord? Yeah. It's funny, we look back at the old days like they were so great, and then when we go back to the old days, it's like, yeah, this wasn't great at all. This actually sucks. Now, you can be a third son, and you can live on the outside, and you can do all these things and be convicted of them and still get to heaven, but why? Do you know how much happier you'll be, how much more blessed you'll be becoming a first son? But the fruit of the Spirit, here's where we close, guys. I'm sorry about going so long today. Is love, joy. Now, I want you to see something real quick. We just read a list that was totally incomplete, right? Right now, we're not reading a list. We're reading a singular. But the works, plural, of the flesh are, but the fruit of is. When you are filled with the Spirit, you don't have to manifest each and every one of these things. The Spirit will do all the work for you. It's an amazing thing. If I read this list to you and you go, man, I wish I had this or I wish I had that. In mixed martial arts, man, if you're striking is weak, you got to start sparring some boxing or Muay Thai. Man, if your ground game's weak, you better get to start wrestling and jits. And you know. But here's the greatest thing about if you're missing anything in your life, just seek the Spirit. How much easier. Man, you know, I'm really struggling with my marriage. When we took my son out for a little bachelor thing the other day, and it's like, look, dude, you want me to make marriage easy for you? Here, marriage is easy. Bring your wife to God every single day. Because God will fill everything she needs to be a good wife. But if you think that you're going to form her, make her, shape her, Confucius once said, rot's a ruck. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, which is just patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. And those who are of Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. Now, he continues the thought in chapter 6, and we're not going to do that till next week. Guys, if you would please hand out the communion elements. So, today's message, which daughter are you? Are you daughter number one? Complete surrender? I give my life completely to God. No more will a man have control over me. No longer will a label have control over me. I'm not going to be labeled anymore. I'm not going to be whatever some dude called me or some woman labeled me. I will not be a label anymore. I will be a daughter of Christ, a warrior woman. My wife is a warrior woman. She is a woman of God. And let me tell you something, she don't need me. And that bothers the heck out of me because I'm one of those conceited, arrogant men who love to be worshiped. Worship me, woman. Worship me. And she doesn't worship me, she worships God. But you know the craziest thing? I've had women that worship me back 30 years ago. And it was not satisfying. Here I'm with this woman 30 years, she doesn't worship me, and somehow it works. Because the more she follows Christ, the more I'm secure that she's not going to cheat on me. And in the end, isn't that the answer? Just don't cheat on me, please. I promise I won't cheat on you. Don't cheat on me. We'll get through everything. I promise we'll get through everything else. Just don't cheat on me. And my wife can look at me and say, oh, you know why I'm not going to cheat on you? It ain't because of you, buddy. It's because of God.
I ain't going to cheat on God. And if I cheat on you, I cheat on God. And I am not going to cheat on you because of God, because it ain't like you deserve it. And I hate that. I hate that. I want her to tell me how great and wonderful I am in every way, and how could I ever cheat on such an amazing man like you? Nobody else could ever fulfill me the way. Oh, yeah. Right, brother. Right. Exactly. You just do something that nobody else can ever do. Sure. The only person that could ever do anything that you can do is God. It's the Lord. So be that first daughter. Because that second daughter, man, she might have a mess of kids, and she might live in a nice house, and she might even have a jacuzzi in one of her back bedrooms. But she's going to hell. And she's, her husband's going to cheat on her, and she's going to, man, her life is going to fall apart eventually. That's just what happens with that second son or daughter. And that third daughter, man, she's mad at her father. Her father was too mean. He was too harsh. Always telling him, always telling her what to do, always telling you this and that and the other thing. Listen, my father don't tell me nothing no more. I'm a grown butt woman now. Man, your father ain't trying to keep you from fun. Your father's trying to keep you from death. Sister, talk to a sister who's done it wrong. She'll tell you. A man had three sons. One of them was led by love. And everything he did was with lowly thought of himself. We were at the Lord's table. And on the night that the Lord was crucified, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take and you eat this. And when you do, you think about me and celebrate my life until my life is the fullness inside of you. The Lord Jesus is coming back. Amen. And he wants to be found by you. Want to be found in him, and he wants to find you in him. Physically, I want his life in my life, led by the Spirit, not under some yoke of bondage of law. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. Man, I'm tired of stopping at red lights, man. I want to just, yeah, I'm not going to do that. If you want your life and his life and his life in your life, go on, partake and tell God in your heart that. Now, by eating that bread, you just, what's called, fulfilled the law. You no longer have to keep any rules and regulations, dietary, physical, dress, anything like that. But now, for the next level in freedom of love, the only thing that can do it is the new covenant. The power of the Spirit in your life, where it's not that you don't want to keep the law. The law is good. But you know what? There's a new law. It's the law of liberty. I've been set free. And if the Holy Spirit will lead and guide my footsteps, I'll give him every step. The Bible says a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. A good woman's steps are ordered by the Lord. If you want this kind of life, salute to God. All right, guys, smash them up. That's fine. We were at Ken's church, they did that, right? The guys that we went up to Maine, the same thing. We did that thing, and all of a sudden, everybody started cracking it, and Ken was just like, and he made that noise that he makes every once in a while. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for this supper, this Lord's supper. We ask you, please, that it will be something that sinks deep into our soul. God, I pray by the power of your Spirit that this place would be filled with first sons, not second sons, not third sons, not first, yes, first daughters.
Holy and Heavenly Father, awesome and mighty God, we give you our lives. Whatever you want to do with it, health, wealth, obedience, in every way, we want to be blessed. We want to be happy in you. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for communion. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Amen.